Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington, and this is
Bill Knight.
And, I need singers to sing that for me. You know, in the background, little, you know.
Would you like me to sing for you?
No,
Bill,
please.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, please, I wasn't going to charge you or anything like that.
Oh, well, in that case.
Okay. Bill Knight. Anyway.
So what's going on, man?
It's Christmas
week. There's a lot going on.
And we are into our third episode of It's Another Day, which is kind of nice. And have you got any plans for the holiday coming up? Are you
doing traveling. I got the car worked on today, you know, so that's all set, the front end alignment. I was going to rent. I was really just going to rent a vehicle, but
they're not cheap, are they?
They're really cheap. You know, it used to be that you see, oh, you can get a car for $16 a day, $30 a day. No, about $120 a day. You see, the airlines aren't flying all the routes now. They don't have people to man the airlines. Then there is, you know, the mandates on them too. And by the time you're done, you can't get a flight. So you got to rent a car, and the price has gone up to $120 a day.
When I went to Gettysburg in October, I rented, and I like to rent a big SUV because I like to stick all my stuff in it. And
you rented a super tanker.
I did. It cost me, I was gone for 3 days, 4 days. The rental car cost me $1,000.
You know what? For four days, I was looking at laying out almost $1,000. And then that's without putting the insurance on top of it. Do you want to use your insurance, or do you want that? Hey, you know what? If I wreck it, I walk away and say, hey, here's the keys, go get your junk. You know, which you want to do because, you know, the rule is drive it like you stole it, which does
in your case, it reminds you of your youth.
Yes, it does. But, you know, it's funny because I don't have any tickets on my record. I think I told you about 2 weeks ago, I went to a business meeting. I got out at 10 o'clock. I had actually paperwork on it. And I was going home, and I had to take a detour to go over to get something to eat for my son, my teenage son. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't paying attention to the speed. And all of a sudden, I see the lights go on. Yeah, I see the lights in the mirror. So, I pull over, you know, and I get the two guys walking up to my truck, you know, both sides shining the light in. Do you know how fast you're going? No, sir. Actually, I didn't. And then it just shot to my mind. I sat there and said, but, you know, sir, to be honest, I was at a meeting. Here's where I was. I'm not lying to you. Mm-hmm. But it had to be something I ate there because my stomach is gurgling.
Oh, no.
I told him my stomach was gurgling. And he goes, well, let me check. He
just know where this is going.
And then he came back and he said, look, you know, you were doing, you know, 40-something
miles an
hour.
You need a police escort to your house.
No. I told him where I lived out in the country, but I was just going to, you know, the grocery store right up the street so I could use their bathroom because otherwise I was going to embarrass myself. Just watch your speed limit next time, sir, okay? And go and get on your way. So I did. Now, it's funny because I saw a survey the other day. You know me and surveys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the number one excuse that people give when they get stopped is, I was in a hurry because I had to go to the bathroom. But my thought is, are they going to argue it? Really?
I don't think you want to argue it as a police officer, because if you're wrong as a police officer, you end up with a
mess.
Exactly.
And no, I'd end up with a mess, but you know,
it worked for you, and that's good. That's a good thing.
But I'm encouraging people to obey the law.
You went over to the McDonald's or wherever you went, to the Walmart, and you had to pretend that you were going.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did do. I went into the grocery store and I walked down about 4 miles.
You really didn't have
going,
to use
the. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I walked out and got into my truck and I drove to where a place called Crown that I was going to get something to eat for my son.
You were afraid that
they might have followed me watching to see if I was really telling the truth.
Yes.
Of course I was. I am.
The things that they put up with, huh? The things that they put up with. How fast were you going, by the way? What was the speed limit?
Close to 50 and a 25.
Good.
But it was late at night. There was nobody out. There was
playing your radio loud in a hospital zone.
Man, you know, and I mean, really, I saw the lights, my heart sunk. I sunk. I was going, I don't usually speed. But the one time that I do, bam. So, yeah, if you are traveling at any time, you know, watch out. And, you know, he wasn't Mr. Personality, the two officers, but he was nice and understanding. And, you know, these guys are doing a job.
Sure.
They have to do. And they've heard it all. So what they heard from me apparently was not a news story.
Well, they would have to stop me for going too slow because I've become my grandfather when it comes to driving. When I was
you're
a kid,
like a turtle in peanut butter.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to make fun of these old guys who used to drive. Usually they were older Plymouths and they were wearing baseball caps and they would be doing in a 35 mile an hour zone or 40 mile an hour zone, they would be doing 25 and I would get behind them and you couldn't pass. And so I would get irritated and make gestures that weren't very kind, you know,
right.
But now I've become that guy. I don't know how that happened either, but now, I mean, I used to go, for example, when I was working in Boston, right. I lived in Hartford and I would get off the air at one station at noon and have to be on the air in Boston at 2. Now going to Boston,
go like heck.
Oh, I hadn't, you know, that was the era of radar detectors.
Oh yeah.
And I would be doing, well, a little over the speed limit. Like if the speed limit was 55 in those days, I'd be doing 75, 80. And
nothing compared to what I did when I was young. And I was lucky.
Never was late. Even in snow, I was never late. I slid by the studio a few times.
Well, I've done that. Yeah, you know, car didn't stop as I passed the station, but the brakes were squealing. I had a boss. His dad was a judge. And I remember going home one time, and I wasn't paying attention. But, you know, a little sports car, you know, you're going to fly. And I was. And, you know, I was in triple digits, I admit it. And that was back when the speed limit was 55. You know, and I see way miles and miles back lights. And then I'm going, oh, geez. So I slow down. So he catches up and I pull over and, you know, and the guy was friendly. I'm not going to say, you know, and I deserve to be pulled over and told him who I was. He goes, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be I have to write you a ticket. I'm going to be in court with you in your boss's dad's court. I said, oh, great. He goes, no, I think it's probably going to work out for you. And it did. You know, the judge sat there, and I won't mention the name. He's long gone now, but, you know, son's still alive and a friend. And he just goes, he just kind of looked at me, and he rolled his eyes. He goes, I'm only doing this for one reason. He just said, get out of my court. Don't ever let me see you again. Hey, have a nice day, and I'll be listening to you. And that was it.
You know,
now, you know what? And that's privileged. That is privileged, and I admit it. And I was wrong back then. And when you grow up, you become that old guy.
Out of everything you've said, I've been impressed more about the fact that you were able to actually buy and get into a small sports car. Because in my life, being a big guy all my life, even when I was in the best shape of my life, I was a lineman when I was a kid, you know, when I played football. So ever trying to get into when you're 6'2" and around at the time I was 225 to get into a Triumph.
Yeah. Well, and you got to put the seat back or you got
to
put.
No.
You had to put it in the back.
And then better yet, try to get out of a Triumph. I saw this picture of a guy, by the way, speaking of that, staying on topic. I saw a guy, an older guy, our age, get out.
Speak for yourself.
Apparently he was interested in a brand new, was it a Maserati? What's the one that Magnum uses? Maserati, I guess it is.
Wasn't that a Ferrari?
Lamborghini? No, he has one of those. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a red car.
Yes. And he opens the door. This is a guy in his 70s, and he loves the car. He's showing his friends, and then he tries to get out. get out of the car, and he has bad knees, and the poor guy is crawl, literally. He pushes the door and he starts to laugh because he knows it looks ridiculous, because he knows that if he buys this, every time he were to buy this car, this is how he'd be getting out of the car, no matter where he were.
So, well, what you got to do, to be honest with you, when you buy that car, widen the garage a little bit, put a stripper pole right in the middle, so you pull up just the door past it, so you can open the door without hitting the bar, then back up a little bit. That way you can pull yourself out of the car. And, you know, if you're really limber, you know, you could actually do a little.
Well, what they should do is
a fat old guy ejection seat.
The car company should have an option where you get a. Have you seen these recliners that you press a button and the recliner literally lifts you out of the chair and stands you up?
Yeah.
So you're sitting in the recliner, fully reclined, enjoying your TV. And then you say, oh, I think I'll hit the lavatory. And you press the button and the thing slowly stands you up. They should put that in the Lamborghini.
See, what you're saying is you want a geriatric friendly
sports
car for an old guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be sure on that. Boy.
Although what you don't want is an older guy really at the wheel of a sports car, because they think they're 17. What people don't understand when they're younger, what I never understood when I was younger, that inside the mind of most people our age,
we're young.
It's a 17-year-old or a 20-year-old. You don't think that you're as old as you actually are. I think back to how far some people say, you know, I used to listen to you on the radio. Yeah.
Thanks.
Gosh, that had to be like 1971. Gosh, that half a century ago.
Yeah, well, you know.
I feel like when they do that, I feel like a living museum. I should be charging admission just to see me, you know? But yeah, anyway.
You know, well, now, you've got a concept there. And, you know, speaking of, you know, the young mind, I guess Joe Biden has got the young mind these days.
Oh, no. There's a difference between being clear-minded in our age and the poor guys who have an issue, and I think he has an issue.
Yeah. Now, I blew up your, I know I blew up your smartphone over the weekend because I was up late one night. And
tell him what time you blew up my smartphone.
Oh, well, you were mesmerized with videos between midnight and 3 a.m. 3 a.m. I said, oh, Jim's got to
see. And when you send me a message, I have a little, like a bell, ding, ding, ding. So,
oh, good.
And I keep the phone near my head so that if it's something important, I'm there. So I just nod off and I'd hear, ding, ding, ding. Pick up the phone.
Oh, you're welcome say, there. I figured if I was awake, you know, and if I could have ding, ding, ding to everybody's phone, I would have. Tell you what I was amazed.
Please, you're an old dinger.
Yeah, I'm an old ding-dong. Oh, wait. That didn't sound right. But never mind. Not going there. But either way, there were hundreds of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And these videos were, you know how you always see the, they're basically liberal memes, they're negative memes, videos and whatnot. No, it's gone the other way. It was on TikTok, of all places, where a lot of fed-up conservative people were voicing their opinion. And there were a lot of things that I noticed. And, there's a date coming up that I was going, oh, no, not again. Yeah, but there's one coming up. But it's people saying, that's it. I'm done. I'm fed up. It's not about Trump. It's about the lies. And then I'm also sitting there and I had a revelation, you know, and the revelation was, we're fed up here. And people are saying it's time to take back our country. You hear it overseas. And that's kind of scary because we're being pushed to the brink.
They're having demonstrations.
It's going to be worldwide.
In London, in Belgium, in Paris, in Rome, in, I believe, in parts of Germany. I mean, they are, and I'm not talking about 100, 200 people. I'm talking thousands of people in the street.
Tens of thousands.
Right.
And, you know, then you have Biden sitting there making a statement. Well, if you want to take on the government, you need F-15s. And nuclear bombs. And he did say that, which I get how in his mind he conjured that up, but that's kind of stupid to say that because you know, plus he said, you know, Republicans got another thing coming. He just called out every conservative.
Right.
And that was dumb.
The thing I was going to tell you about TikTok, though, I saw a, you can't really trust these. First of all, TikTok is based in China. Secondly, they have these, in China, they have these centers that are bot centers. They're disinformation centers that literally flood places like TikTok and Facebook with false, erroneous responses to things, or they'll initiate things. They will initiate a false premise. They'll let people think that there's so much dissatisfaction that there's going to be a civil war. And next thing you know, are responding. That's exactly right.
The problem is that a lot of these people, you know, aren't fake, and you know, it's the real thing because they're finding out that they can get away with stuff. Now, I have noticed here in the past couple of days that, yeah, they are trying to stop a lot of that. The people are coming back. And then you have major celebrities that are out there. But I'm just saying, you know, the news that you get, and that was the other thing that I realized, you know, the ratings are down on news. And that's a given.
Justifiably said, you
know,
so. Yeah.
But, you know, so who's watching the news? Well, the people that make the news. The people that the news supports, and guys like you and me, they just want to see what's going on. But John Q. Public, and I posed this question to several people that were just talking in crowds in general. Mm-hmm. Do you watch the news? No, I ditched it about 8 months ago. I don't pay attention to the news anymore because they lie. And as one person said, you know, if these guys reported a wreck the way they report the political news, nobody would be driving cars.
That's true. Know?
Yeah. And yeah,
there was a time when you relied on networks like CNN for the facts, because CNN literally was the center for honest, nonpartisan news. That's long gone. What I'll never understand, having been in the media business, is how a media company, and I would say the same thing, if you are a liberal, you're saying, well, what about Fox? Well, let's talk about Fox too. I would say that both of these companies have positioned themselves in such a way that you know that they are partisan. They are partisan news. You are getting from CNN liberal slanted news, and you are getting from Fox conservative news. And there was a time when CNN was down the middle. When they had the first Iraq war, I can remember watching the anchors and the reporters in Baghdad as the bombing was taking place with their night vision cameras, giving us a play-by-play. You went to CNN. Now, I don't go to CNN for truth. I don't. It's just the way it is. I think that they have, and I don't know whether, now, this is something I was thinking about over the weekend, Bill. See what you think about this. They're having problems internally at CNN. Besides the fact that a couple of their CNN producers are in trouble for personal problems, which we don't have to get into right now, but they are in trouble, and it's made the media. Their anchors have been disappearing. You now hear rumors that Zucker is on the way out, the guy who runs CNN, Jeff Zucker.
Yeah.
And they're saying that he has allowed a brand name to go from being top shelf to being an also-ran.
It's a pawn sucker.
You know, CNN, Bill, is losing to the Comedy Channel, the Cartoon Network. I mean, it's not being taken seriously like it used to be, which says to me that it's a prime candidate for someone to go in and scoop it. Now, John Malone, who owns Liberty Media, just positioned himself as the principal investor, I believe, of CNN. And they were interviewing him on CNBC, and they said, well, what do you have plans? What do you think CNN should do? And he said, I would like to see CNN go back to being what it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when it was the reliable source for honest information. This this is the principal owner of CNN saying this, the new principal owner of CNN. And I'm thinking to myself, what if somebody like President Trump, for example, were to purchase a CNN at a bargain basement price and then revamp it?
Oh, he could.
And make it part of Truth. What is it, Truth Social?
Yeah, you know, that's something he's doing. Look, I think the news is in business for one thing, to report the news, not make the news. And right now, they are it's a mind game, you know, and I've studied linguistics. I know all about it. And I know how you set it up, how you paint the picture, and you sell the story. And, you know, I can take a smoker and, you know, sit down and talk with them a little bit, get some facts. And after, you know, a couple of hours, you know, with my notes, I can have them turned around to where they're probably going to put down that cigarette and within three sessions tops, probably one. And I don't do this for a living, but probably one, you will quit smoking, because in your mind, you are going to go, oh, because that's the switch that you got to flip.
That's a heck of a fight. Having been an ex-smoker, I haven't smoked in 40 years. But when I did smoke,
I enjoyed it.
Do you know that even here it is 40 years later, I still dream in the dream I'm smoking.
It'll never go away. But, you know in your mind that there's a negative in there. And that's what I would conjure up. I would find there's all these positive things that you've built up. You know, nicotine is a terrible thing. Tobacco is a terrible thing. And, you know, it's a devil. It's going to convince you that, oh, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel great. You're going to look cool and all of this stuff.
Take a puff. It's springtime.
Yeah.
And that was how they used to build it.
But I would have to dig into your mind and talk, you know, and find that negative point to where we build that picture in your mind. And once you reestablish that, that's why I say there's no guarantees in the first go around. But, you know, you can do that. And news is doing that to you all the time. They're obvious with it. Picture this. Okay.
Tastes good like a cigarette should. We grew up, by the way, in an era when advertising for cigarettes was accepted and normal. You would see major TV programs being sponsored by Chesterfield, Winston, Marlboro. Remember the Marlboro man?
Yeah.
The guy was in great shape, had a cowboy hat, looked like All-American. You know, I understand that the guy who played that character died of lung cancer.
Yes, he did. Do you remember the commercial, you know, the moment you walked in the joint?
Yeah.
I could tell you were a man of distinction.
Was that Edie Adams?
Yeah.
Hey, big spender.
Yeah. Spend a little dime on me. Oh, man.
Here we are singing again.
Oh, my goodness. But that's what it does, you know, and McDonald's, you know, back in the early 60s, there was a thing called simul-consciencing. And they were going, well, you know, the average person, when the TV comes on the commercial, they're gone in 3 seconds. We got 3 seconds to get their attention, sell our product so they can get up, go make a sandwich, go to the bathroom and come back, because that's what people do. So, you know, a real simple way of doing that is, you know, hungry. Your mind knows what that word is. It's called a pre-processed word. Hungry,
Big
answer
Mac.
The question. McDonald's, right. You know, and then you have the slug line below it, whatever is, you know, taste good, you know, whatever it is. But the pre-processed word, which is basically the question, hungry, McDonald's, and then the slug line, anything after that is superfluous.
And to your point, YouTube and these other social networks will have advertising that is 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds. They sell them because of the premise of what you just said. 3 seconds, you sell your point. And a good ad on YouTube is essentially what you just said. Hungry.
Yeah, you're going to lose people McDonald's. When you do an ad and you have all this stuff that you want to talk about. You're excited about your business. You want customers. You want to get them in there. Oh, I got this. I got this. I got this. And it's this and this and this. And this, and this, and this. You've lost them. People aren't that attentive. But, and if you say something that they don't know what it is, your mind has three choices. Yep, I know what hungry means, so it processes that word correctly. No, I don't know what pescaragus means. So it goes, I don't know that word. It throws it away, or it makes a false assumption. Either way, you lose. Or this, the third choice, it guesses and gets it right. You know, and then the other choice is it just absolutely goes, I have no clue. Goodbye. It throws it away.
Along that point, have you ever seen, and they have these things on Facebook and stuff, they'll show you a paragraph and 95% of it is misspelled. Yet when you read it, your brain fills in
the blanks.
It fills in the blanks and you can understand what that paragraph is meant to say, even though it's almost every word is misspelled.
Yeah.
The brain's doing the substitution. It's doing the spell checking as it goes. Do you realize we've talked again for almost a half an hour?
Wow, the time is up already. You know, and I had a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe later on this week we'll do another one. But
we always have a bunch of stuff to talk about. But we can do a half an hour without breaking a sweat.
Oh, no, I'm sweating right now. Boy,
I did see that gloss on your forehead.
Well, there's a hot blonde over there in my mind.
But we don't need that.
In my mind.
In your mind.
Hey, yeah, there's not a woman in sight that'll get near me. I don't know why. And they if go, we don't, oh, he's bad news.
If we don't talk before the holidays, have a safe trip. You said you were going to travel over the holidays. I'm staying home.
Actually, I'm actually headed out tonight. I'm going to drive overnight. And not that that's the wisest thing, but I usually don't like traffic, and if I want to pull over, there are rest stops. But that way, I get there, you know, sometime in the morning. I'm there throughout the week with the family, and, you know, obviously, I have things I have to do. So
I know the major road you're driving on, and it can be kind of tricky in spots, especially in the mountains. So be careful.
That's why I went in and said, yeah, you know, the truck's not that old, doesn't have that many miles. Give it the once over and make sure that I'm good. Yeah, and I found out the front end alignment was a little bit out. I was there looking, you know, yeah, it's off by an eighth of an inch.
When you travel to the south of me by about 30 miles, I'll wave at you too.
Yeah, that'll be probably about,
3:30 in the morning. Yeah, 4 in the morning.
Somewhere, yeah, you'll wake up going,
is that Bill Mike calling me again?
And no, I'm not calling anybody at that time in the morning. That's about the time that I would be in that parallel line with where you are.
Well, if you just have a safe trip, enjoy your Christmas, eat plenty of good food, get a lot of rest, and we'll do this again soon.
One quick thing, eating food. There was a study. I have to do this because, you know, everybody overeats. But one of the things that you can do is if you're feeling bloated and feeling full, really full, they say sniff a lemon and you'll feel actually like you're thinner. Until, of course, you walk by the mirror and it looks like you ate the whole damn buffet. You know, just don't look in the mirror. Smell the lemon.
I removed all the mirrors from my house recently, so it's not an issue. But my friend, have a safe holiday, a good holiday, and we'll do this again soon.
We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.